The dog pound is waiting. Those are the uprights. He's got to punch it through. Hewlett ready to snap it back. This is for the win. The Ravens jump but get back. Snap is back. Ball is down. Coons into it and got blocked. The ball got blocked, and the Ravens are running with it down the sideline. They're at the 40, down the sideline, 20. It's Will Hill to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Baltimore. And they win the game on a blocked field goal.
Unbelievable.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
As if we needed to be reminded about that dagger in the heart. There was Jim Donovan on the call. He will be with us around 2 o'clock here today on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. 216-578-0850. That's the way to call us up again, 216-578-0850. We'll go to the phone lines right now. John in Lakewood. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, I understand the Browns pay you guys, and you always try to look for the positive spin, but, you know, it's literally impossible that they're
going to win. Did you hear a lot of positivity in that opening 15 minutes? I mean, let's
be honest about it. I heard it 15 seconds, and I knew it was going to come. You're talking about resilience. St. Ed's could have beat Baltimore yesterday. They're picking people up off the street 2 days ago. The Browns had 3 weeks to get ready for that game. They're just.
You truly believe in your heart, like if you had to bet your life on it, that St. Ed's would have beat the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I guess I'm a little facetious there, but okay. But you guys act. How many All Pros do we have on this team?
Zero.
At the beginning of the year, you were talking like six or seven in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, now they've played. That's why games are not played on paper, and they're not played in the preseason. And right now, I would say zero.
And if you want,
Andy.
I was wrong.
Yeah, this team is not anywhere near as good as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
It is not playing as well as I thought it was going to. It is not executing as well as I thought it was going to. It is not as talented.
They're not running the ball like they're supposed to. They're not playing
defense like the ball. Yeah. They are not playing run defense. They are not. This offensive line is not one of the top. Forget top five. It's not one of the top 20 offensive lines in the NFL right now. This secondary is battered and it is playing poorly. This run defense we know is the absolute worst in the NFL. Everything that could be going wrong, other than really the quarterback, which is the irony in all of this, because that's all we were worried about was what kind of quarterback play would we get or who's going to catch the ball for this team. Josh McCown?
Terrell Pryor.
Josh McCown exceeded expectations. Gary Barnage is going to have a 1,000-yard season easily.
And he's going to go to the Pro Bowl.
Maybe Gary Barnage is an All-Pro. Maybe, but he's got Eifert, who's leading
Gronk.
Touchdowns. He's got Gronk, Greg Olsen, tough position. But Gary Barnage has vastly
honorable mention.
Expectations.
Yes.
Other than that, there is nothing right now to be. Listen. The fact is, they could have mailed it in. Would you be happier? Would you? And maybe people would. Maybe people would be happier or more. It would be easier for them if when the game was 17-3, the Browns just completely folded up their tent, went home, and ended up losing 30-3 on national TV. The fact is, they were down 17-3. They came back. They were down 27-20. They tied it.
You're so positive, Nathan.
And then all of a sudden, guess what? Boom, boom. That was the field goal kick, the block, pickup, game over. I'm not trying to shine or polish anything right now. I'm as pissed as you guys are. This sucks. This sucks. You think it's fun to come in here and do this week after week? No, it's not. It sucks. But the show goes on. The season goes on. It all goes on. And yes, you fans, I'm a fan, and I work for the team. I'm a fan. We all want a better result on the field. There's no question about that. Everybody wants a better result on the field and deserves a better result on the field. And everybody who is in these walls is trying to get that. It's just not happening. And it is hugely, hugely disappointing.
Go back to the phones.
216-578.
Let the people talk.
Yeah. 216-578. Let me hear your positivity.
578-0850. Stephen Fairlawn, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Good.
Hey, I like your show. I've been listening. First-time caller.
Thank you very much.
And the reason I like it is you guys are very, very well-informed, and you do your work before the show comes on. It doesn't seem like there's just mixed opinions and, you know, you think this and you think that. I will say that you got a really complicated situation. And it's going to be, but I think there's negative and there's positive. I'll make it short. The negative is I think there's going to have to be an office clearing with the Browns at the end of the season. And the positive I would say is you have some players out there that have some potential. I think Duke Johnson's begun to shine in a way that nobody's really noticing because there's chaos going all around them, along with Barnage. And I just think that with the smart management and smart coaching that we could all admire, we would actually have a good team. I mean, if you look at our wins and loss record in itself is bad, it's terrible, but we haven't been blown out in hardly any games. We have the potential to be a really good playoff team. But I just don't think that Pettine is cut out to be a head coach. I think that he lacks the intelligence and the innovation of a Paul Brown. Like's graphics last night kind of told our whole story. Just when you have bad management, you're not going to get a great product, and that's what we have. We've got really bad management from top all the way down to the bottom.
And I think that, you know, I'm not going to get into it or label it in those terms, but what I will say is the line between winning and losing in the NFL is it's a pretty fine line.
A very fine line.
It really comes down to a few things here or there. Now, we did have that four-game stretch where we lost by 14 or more, but the other losses have been fairly close, and it is a fine line. But the truth is, when you are doing things the way they are supposed to be done at all levels in terms of how you're being coached to handle certain situations, the situations that the coaches are putting you, the execution of the players in those situations, good teams find a way to win. For example, I'll give you one example. On that last play, do you want to know what bothered me the most about that field goal block for return for a touchdown?
Tell me.
As soon as the guy jumps offside, snap the ball. Snap the ball. Or if you're the left tackle that it's right next to, stand up.
Correct. That's the more likely of your two scenarios.
Fine. Stand up and point, and you get 5 yards. It's already a 51-yard field goal. He just
46.
Gifted you 5 yards. And this is what I'm talking about. And I do think Chris Tabor, I know he's under fire today because two of the things happened on special teams. I think he's a very good special teams coach. And I think the proof is in the fact that if he were out of here, he'd be a special teams coordinator immediately around the NFL.
I agree with that.
That's the type of thing, if you're watching that game and it was the Patriots lined up for that field goal, the Patriots get that 5 yards.
Yes.
100 times out of 100.
The Packers, because they practice against Aaron Rodgers consistently or with him, get that same penalty.
So it's those little things that all add up. And you've heard Mike Pettine talk about it. I think there are some big things that are wrong. You can't be 32nd against the run. You're playing against a fourth.
They're 31st right now, Nathan.
Oh, they moved up.
They moved up.
Who went behind us?
The Miami Dolphins.
Miami. Yeah, they've been bad. All right, so
I made sure to look up that.
A mazel tov, as we say. As the kid would say.
What language is that?
I believe that is Hebrew, my friend. So there are big issues, but it's the little things that are also adding up to the point where this Browns team is incapable of finding a way to win. Bob Rose just actually pointed this out to me on Twitter as I was talking. Why didn't the Browns O-lineman immediately jump up to create a penalty? That's a great question. That last 40 seconds in some ways is a microcosm for everything that's happened. Communication issues break down, confusion, and instead of the timeout being called, 35 seconds or whatever it was, 30 seconds run off the clock. Maybe it was only 20 seconds, but an inordinate amount of time when he had two timeouts and there wasn't much time on the clock. Sliding inbounds, just a little bit of a brain fart there from Austin Davis. Not drawing that penalty and taking those 5 yards. Frankly, if he runs out of bounds, you probably get 5 yards there. The jump, 5 yards, it's a 41-yard field goal. And Travis Kuhn's never missed. Never missed. That kick is blocked because he's got to kick it low and drive the ball. They get penetration.
You listen to Travis Kuhn's comments, he said he kicked that ball no different than he does any other field goal.
And I talked to him. He said as soon as I contacted it, I thought I made it. He thought he hit it. It was like, you know, when you're playing
flush.
Golf, I hit it pure.
Sure.
He thought he made it. Unfortunate. All right, we'll go back to the phones. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Stan, the man. Go ahead, Stan.
How are you doing today?
How you doing, man?
Arthritis. It's really bad this morning, this afternoon. You know, it's terrible. Yeah. I don't normally stay up for the games, but I didn't lose any sleep after it.
I did.
I got several points here. Okay, number one, I got about five of them. Number one, you can't finish, you can't close. Lack of proper time management at the end of the game. Yep. That was a big negative. I was right spot on. I'd like to know exactly what the actual attendance was, because I know my figure was pretty close.
I have it right in front of me. Okay, so the Cleveland Browns First Energy Stadium against Tennessee, Oakland, Denver, and Arizona is 67,431, which I would imagine is every seat in the building, okay? And last night, as it says here in the official statistics, I think that are league-wide, 64,380, so a discrepancy by a shade under 3,000 people.
Hmm. It actually filled in quite nicely.
Okay, moving forward, okay, with the future games, here's my suggestion. You have nothing. McCown's a warrior. Let's get that point across. But let's let Davis play the next two games, and let's let Johnny finish out the last three. How's that sound?
I'm fine with seeing both of those guys. To me, I want to see Johnny, but if their decision is it's not going to be Johnny, then let's see Austin Davis, and I think we're going to see that right now. All right, let's go to Reggie in Youngstown. Reggie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, just wanted to say in general and stuff that, you know, what we've been talking about, and I say again, you know, first of all, right quick, is the fact that the offensive line, man, them cats is, they garbage. You guys can see that. I'm not even going to comment on it because I talk about it all the time. But what I do want to say, a bright spot that I've seen was the backup quarterback. Hey, man, that Davis, that guy is pretty good, guys.
He is,
he
yeah.
Good.
He's
yeah.
pretty
and
good.
I think
he's confident. You watched him. How he went in, that's what I'd be watching is players' demeanor and stuff when they're out there playing on offense and defense. And offensively, you can see how he was just confident. I mean, I loved how he just came in like it was like, oh, this ain't number, just another day at the, you know, at the office right there. And how he just controlled, man. I mean, that's the type of quarterbacks you want to back up. You know, McCown, I felt so sorry for our starting quarterback, man. That guy was getting murdered out there, like I always said. He just got to the point where he couldn't take it. If I was him, fellas, I would leave that alone for the rest of the year, which he probably is going to have to in general, and get rid of that stinking defense and them sorry coaches that we got, man. Them guys ain't about nothing. So that's all I got to say, fellas.
Appreciate it, man.
Reggie, thank you very much.
Are you sure that's all, Reg? Thanks, Reg.
That was a strong parting shot there. Defensively, I mean, John Gruden was all over the team for the defensive performance, the scheme, everything that was happening out there. So I'm certainly no need to comment on that.
Will you go back and watch the television? Because I know.
No, I just heard about it, so I went back and watched like certain things, certain plays on the TV copy. I'll watch it.
Yeah, the only reason I say that is because just listening to the Really Big Show, you know, being, you know, around town this afternoon, Riz made mention of John Gruden, and then they had Jim Donovan on, who we'll have on here in the next 30 minutes, and Jim went back and watched the TV version when he got home last night, just obviously to watch it, to understand it, and that was his resounding, not so much in the play of the Browns, but Gruden and how critical he was of everything the Browns were doing wrong.
So we will certainly talk to that. We'll talk about that with him at 2 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll have more reaction, more phone calls, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.